This message comes from NPR sponsor, Hulu. Based on shocking true events, the new Hulu original series, Under the Bridge, tells the story of a savage murder in a small town. Starring Riley Keough and Lily Gladstone, Under the Bridge is now streaming with new episodes Wednesdays, only on Hulu.
I was looking at this, the text you sent me with the dog face. What was that?
The dog face? Because that girl texted me. What do you mean a dog face? Okay, that's... You have to click on the photo.
Yeah, it's the dog.
No, that's my background. You're supposed to look at the text.
Oh.
Ay, ay, ay.
Somebody told me it gets worse with age, but I can't remember who told me that.
And on that note...
From NPR Music, this is Alt Latino. I'm Felix Contreras.
And I'm Ana Maria Serre. Let the chisme begin. And the chisme is piping hot.
Oh, my God. Right
piping
out of the oven.
Hot. I'm so excited because Shakira has just released her 12th album. I had to like do the math backwards on that because I didn't believe it. Tú tienes buena puntería, sabes por dónde darme pa que cada rendía, rendía. This is her first in 7 years, Felix. It's called Las Mujeres Ya No Lloran. So safe to say it's been highly anticipated, highly talked about, highly listened to already. There's generally been a lot of positive reviews based on what I've seen poking around the internet, which I don't know if everyone in this room, in this space, is feeling that way. Just based on a lot of the texts, slacks, lengthy audios we've shared about the record so far. So I brought the amazing, the fabulous, the glorious Isabella Gomez Sarmiento on this week.
Woo-hoo. Reporting.
To help me report for duty to break down this album, perhaps support me in some of my opinions. So, Felix, are you ready? Let's just get straight into it. So, Isa, we're starting with you. What were your impressions, general takeaways of the album? What were you expecting to begin with?
Okay, wow. Thanks for throwing the heat on me to begin with.
Just to give you a nice, friendly, easy welcome to the show.
No, I appreciate that. Okay, this is a two-pronged answer. I think I have very high expectations for Shakira as an artist. I think she is a multifaceted pop star who has transformed over and over in a way that has felt very authentic to me as an avid listener of her music since I was literally in diapers, right? I was born in 97. She put out Ladrones in 1998. But for this album specifically, my expectations were not that high. That's because I haven't been as big of a fan of her last two records either. It didn't surprise me in an exciting way that maybe like subconsciously I was hoping it would. But it was kind of what I was expecting, which was like a fun, radio-ready thing that kind of sounded like it could have been made by anyone who's making pop music right now. And I don't really mean that in a good way. What about you guys?
Shakira's one of those artists who, if I didn't do this for a living, what we do, we listen to music, I would still listen to her. And I don't say that about all artists. And I say that because of what Isa just said, because she is a major artist. She has created a path for herself. She's a pioneer in a lot of senses. Some of the pop stuff, you know, I'm not a big pop guy, right? But I've been listening to her music, I've been checking it out, just to see how she develops. So, and this record in particular, you know, I don't have strong feelings about it one way or the other. Not like you guys, because you're going to listen to a lot more closely than I would. I heard stuff that I hear other people doing, like Isa said. There's nothing groundbreaking about it. But do we expect that from artists?
It felt like to me the key Shakira authenticity is a lot to do with her vocals. She becomes multiple different people, messages, experiences within one song oftentimes just because of the way she's able to like chameleon with her voice. And the vocals just felt really flat to me on this. Like there wasn't a lot of expression, a lot of personality, a lot of her. And so it's not just about the authenticity of the songwriting, which was obviously very personal on this record. She talked very publicly about her divorce, but more specifically, the way that she actually presented herself, the heart felt a little absent.
I've been listening to some of her older albums, like even like Fijación Oral, right? Which was like a pop album. This wasn't early 90s Shakira. This was like mid 2000s at the height of, you know, her crossover success. And I think, like, I don't know if this is a true story, but I've read before that when Shakira was little, someone, I think like a music teacher, allegedly told her she would never make it in music because her voice sounded like a goat.
I read that.
Yeah. And
that was amazing.
Exactly. Because I think that's what I love about her voice. Like, it's weird. She takes it to some really weird places. She warps it in really interesting ways. And like you said, I think that was glaringly absent from this record.
Yeah.
Which was just, I don't know, it was disappointing.
I love that you brought up that goat quote. I thought that was absolutely incredible because it's not entirely inaccurate. Like, it's not like the craziest thing I've ever heard that someone would compare her voice to a goat because right. It's just, okay, wait, Felix, before you get offended, I'm so sorry, Shakira, I don't mean it. My point is the texture of her voice, it's so unique. Like, it is so versatile. It's not stereotypically clean pop star sound. It's like you're sitting at the table with 10 different people. Sometimes she's the toxica, and sometimes she's the enamorada, and sometimes she's the angry one or the feisty one or the sad or the soulful one. And I feel like her voice as a character, watching it grow and develop and pass through all these moments of her life, has been, for me at least, really a pivotal touch point and important piece of her journey as an artist.
I think in the past, the way that Shakira has managed to bring in sounds from the Middle East, sounds from, you know, she's done bossa nova next to dance hall, next to like a more straightforward pop, next to rock. Like, she's been doing that stuff forever, but she's always managed to do it in a way that feels very intentional and in a way that's woven together very intricately, which is what I love about her. And I think what really allowed her crossover to be as successful as it was, because she was never crossing from one point to another. She was sort of walking that line back and forth. This album doesn't feel like it's doing that. This album feels like a bit of a checklist of like, we're gonna hit Regional, we're gonna hit this sort of like Afro beats moment with production from Tiny, we're gonna do a rock song because the fans have been begging for a rock song. Like, it didn't feel like she sat down and was like, how far can I push this? And, you know, I don't know. It didn't feel like a huge experiment or risk in the way some of her cross-genre stuff has felt in the past.
So, Felix, obviously Issa and I are notably slightly disappointed in Shakira's performance on this record. But I'm curious, you as someone who perhaps has witnessed multiple iterations of various artists at different points in their career reinventing themselves, putting out new versions of themselves, what could have or should have been our expectation? I mean, is it fair that the bar is this high in terms of innovation from her?
Is that your polite way of saying that I'm old?
Wise and experienced.
This part of the conversation reminds me of things artists like Paul Simon and Peter Gabriel in particular, because in the grand view of their long careers, these two artists, when Paul Simon released Graceland, when, mm-hmm. And Peter Gabriel released So back in the 80s, they'd already had maybe, you know, at least 20 years of experience in the record business. You know, they had a series of albums before those groundbreaking records that were just like, oh, okay, what are we doing? Who am I? You could hear them kind of flailing around what they're doing. And then all of a sudden they hit these two marks, these high water marks, and completely changed everything. And they, like, a second career, second wind in their career and all that. And I think that if we put Shakira in that context right now, 7 years between records, this record comes out, all the things that you guys said are legitimate points to raise. But I think if we look at it in terms of in the long run, like, this is what she puts out now after 7 years. Like, what's going to happen next, right? Because she still obviously has something to say. And still obviously wants to say it in a way that maybe fits her or will be completely different. I think we do have to consider Shakira mid-career right now after almost 25 years. And then, I don't know, maybe we cut her a little slack of where she is and what she did with this because we don't know what's coming next. Agarra una toalla, traje de baño, vamos a la playa y nos olvidamos por un milimicrosegundo de lo malo del mundo. El tiempo se va volando cuando se pasa bien. No importa cómo, dónde, cuándo, lo que importa es con quién.
I want a disclaimer before I ask this next question and say that I think Shakira is absolutely brilliant. I think she's an incredible lyricist, a beautiful vocalist, has absolutely opened doors for countless, like, I think many American artists have had doors opened in ways that they wouldn't even be able to know because of what Shakira's done, how she's innovated and shown up authentically in the pop space. But I do want to ask, I mean, do we even need to care? Like,
about what?
If someone releases an album that isn't that wonderful or inspiring or interesting or pushing the genre forward, do we need to care just because it's Shakira?
I think the reason we do need to care at this moment and because it's Shakira is because Latin music looks vastly different right now than it did last time Shakira put an album out. I think we've seen this huge, huge, huge explosion. I mean, it's like the Bad Bunny phenomenon, right, that has taken over, and the way that, like, Latin music has essentially become pop since Shakira last released a project, the fact that she was one of the first, I'm not going to say she was the first, obviously there was Gloria Estefan, there was Julio Iglesias, there was a lot of people that came before Shakira, but I think in terms of, like, pop specifically, Shakira, like you said, opened so many doors, and in this time that she's been away from the studio, away from the spotlight in as big of a capacity as she has been in the past, the industry has changed so much. So her reentering feels important. But I do think, to Felix's point, that also means that her just making an album right now represents a certain risk because she is entering this different industry. So maybe it does make sense for her to play it safe, for her to, you know, re-earn fans, re-earn listeners, and then say something else, something deeper, take a bigger risk down the line. This was just kind of her, like, I don't want to call it a comeback, but, you know, it was like her reintroduction, I guess, to the pop space.
Look at where we are. Like, all the streams, all the attention, the lack of crossover, the way it's dominated the pop music world in any language right now. To step back into that as an artist, like, oof, it's kind of scary.
I'm almost having trouble reconciling what I see as, like, multiple Shakiras existing in the universe right now. Like, there's Shakira's legacy that is still, like, beating so strong, like, in terms of, I don't know, millions of streams constantly of people revisiting some of her greatest works. And then there's the Shakira now who is, like, currently creating music in a contemporary space and what that looks and sounds like and feels like. And I'm having trouble almost like putting the two pieces together in my head.
And that's not going to change. That's always going to be there as you know, our favorite artists get older and start to do more things, right? I mean, I went through that with one of my favorite bands, Santana. You're always going to struggle with that. There's always going to be more than one Shakira. And that's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. Because are you the same person you were when you were, you know, 10 years ago, even 7 years ago, right? We got to allow for that as we listen to our artists and listen to our favorites. La luna está pa que no besemos. Si ellos supieran todas las cosas que hacemos. Por la estrella siempre nos peleamos. Se alinean los planetas cada vez que nos vemos. So taking us extremely present and making a comparison that feels kind of essential here, I think of her with her contemporaries, like let's say a Beyoncé, who has also, you know, been around consistently reinvented herself, keeps coming back with new music, new innovation, new genres even. I mean, Beyoncé has been praised in many ways to be consistently leveling up, to be constantly creating something new of herself. And this feels to me like maybe the first divergence for the two in terms of that level of innovation.
I mean, I agree with you. I've always seen her on par with someone like Beyonce, and I think Beyonce is pushing the bar so much further right now than I feel like Shakira is. And that is a little difficult to reckon with. Because like you and I have talked extensively on it, like, it raises this big question of like, what does this album do to her legacy? Does it do anything? And worse, like, does it harm it? Does it make us see Shakira in a more negative way than we did before we heard the album? Maybe that's not the best way to phrase it, but, you know, like, I don't know.
But are we allowing her to grow and develop and take ginger steps, small steps, before she finds something that she really needs to say that's going to completely change the way she expresses herself, if that comes around?
I suppose the question, Felix, for me is, like, if anything, I feel like she's been given a lot of grace with this record. Like, I feel like a lot of people have given it a lot of positive feedback. And I can't believe that the fact that she is who she is not at least a good percentage of the reason behind that, right? Like, does that feel disingenuous or like she's taking up space that some new artist with a lot of fresh ideas could be taking?
I think ultimately the final answer is with the fans. Like, how are the singles doing? They're blowing up, right? La que te digo que un vacío se llena con otra persona te miente. Es como tapar una herida con maquillaje, no se ve pero se siente. Te fuiste diciendo que me superaste y te conseguiste nueva novia. Lo que ella no sabe es que tú todavía me estás viendo toda la historia, bebé, ¿qué fue? No, pues que muy tragadito. Ya estoy buscando un melado si sabes que yo errores no repito. People love it. Artists are not writing for the fans, they're writing for themselves. And if the fans go along with it as a result, it's even better. But maybe that's the final word, or at least one of the determining factors. These people love the record, man. So there.
But do they?
Fine.
But do they is the thing. Like, I was kind of surprised seeing how positive the reviews were. I think because she is Shakira and because she is this, like, icon, it seems like a lot of people offered her more grace than they would have another artist putting out this exact same record.
I go back to Miles Davis when he started playing electric music, and people brutalized him, just completely raked him over the coals and wrote him off. He's no longer a jazz musician. He's using this electric instruments. This is like 1969-70, and he started making records in 1947 or so. They nailed him. He's like, I don't care. I'm going to do what I do. And he, in fact, changed the sound of jazz at least 3-4 times, literally changed single-handedly with his bands. So we're talking now about a musician who is taking stock, seems to be taking stock of where she is and what she's been doing in the record business, and as a way of expressing herself.
The mistakes have to happen for this, like, next iteration of...
If they are mistakes, people dig it. Are you saying that people are just like, well, they don't know what they're listening to and they're just accepting the mistakes because it's Shakira?
I guess it feels like it would be easier to forgive a mistake if it felt like the mistake was a real artistic risk. Like what you're saying about Miles Davis, right? It's like he was doing something new and different and people reacted really strongly to it. I guess it feels harder to, like, stomach a mistake that just feels like playing it safe. But maybe that's just where she is right now. Like, this is also part of, like, celebrity culture. Like, we don't know her. We can't expect her to be making a statement like Beyonce. She clearly went through this big personal thing.
Exactly.
This is what she had to offer. I can't be like, because I've been listening to Shakira forever, she's capable of more than this. Like, I don't know. Maybe she's not. Fue culpa tuya, ni tampoco mía. Fue culpa de la monotonía. Nunca dije nada, pero me dolía. Yo sabía que esto pasaría. Lo tuyo y haciendo lo mismo. Siempre buscando protagonismo.
And Issa, you know, you did ask me recently, like, a lot of people have had qualms with the way that she's been super, I don't know, they've almost been suggesting that she's been exploitative of her own experiences by, like, detailing every single tiny, minute part of her divorce and everything that happened. And what I said and continue to say is she recognizes her own, you know, her own experiences are part of her brand, her commodity. I mean, yes, maybe she's mourning and this is her art and she wants to be very explicit, but also, like, I don't think I or anyone else can fault her for sharing details or experiences that are going to encourage people to listen to her music. Like, I think we like to think of our favorite biggest stars as still whatever they were when they started, and she's now however many years into this business and understands how it operates and understands the value of presenting these kind of information. It's her information. She can do what she wants with it.
I think the thing to think about right here is something that you said and something that Isabella said. It's like, there are a number of Shakiras, and Isabella just mentioned the idea of celebrity culture, and she has to exist within that celebrity culture, right? So they don't always reconcile, and they don't always have the same thing to say, and she may not put more stock in one over the other, but you still have to, you have to deal with that. And we have to, we create those spaces. We create that celebrity culture. We create our own image of who she is. Like you said, do we want her to be the same? You know, do we want her hips not to lie, right? I mean, and continue to do that.
And I think, you know, as much as we all want to believe that Shakira's our best friend because she told us all about her breakup and it feels like we were sitting in the sala with her and, like, you know, eating ice cream and talking about Piqué, like, we're never going to know.
Totally.
We're never going to know what's in her head, you know? And so it's like, we have to, I think, as maybe consumers of her music, we have to pick the Shakira we want to continue to sit with. I think I'd rather still sit with 90 Shakira, and she's going to help me through my breakups. Maybe current Shakira is not, but for others, maybe they'll find something in that as well.
I think it is also an age thing in that way, because I think a lot of older Shakira fans that I've met love the album. And I'm like, you know what? Maybe it's just where I am in my life right now also. I relate to, like, 20s Shakira when she was in her 20s. Yeah. So I don't know.
How fabulously said, Isabella. That is, I think that is precisely what the issue, or rather the benefit, is of this experience. Shakira has something for everyone.
There you go.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. We love having you. I'm glad that we got to bring this to life, because we spent I don't know how many hours talking about it off the mic.
Gracias, gracias.
This is a lot of fun.
Let us know if you think so, too. Send us an email, alt.latino@npr.org, or find us on Facebook.
Isa, thank you so much for sitting in on this.
Thank you guys for having me.
You have been listening to Alt Latino. I'm Felix Contreras. Our audio producer for this show is Joaquin Cutler.
Our editor is Hazel Sills.
The woman who helps us keep everything together is Grace Chung.
The executive producer of NPR Music is Surya Mohammed.
And the jefe de los jefes is Keith Jenkins.
Special thanks to Isabella Gomez Sarmiento from the Culture Desk for joining us this week.
Again, I'm Felix Contreras.
I'm Ana Maria Sayer.
Thank you for listening.
This message comes from NPR sponsor, Lisa. Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between Lisa and West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is expertly crafted from natural latex, natural wool, and certified safe foams to elevate your sleep sanctuary and support a greener tomorrow. Plus, every purchase helps fuel Lisa's work with shelters and those in need. Visit Lisa.com to learn more. That's LEESA.com.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Capella University. With Capella's FlexPath learning format, you can earn your degree online at your own pace and get support from people who care about your success. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
There are a lot of issues on voters' minds right now. Six big ones could help decide the election: guns, reproductive rights, immigration, the economy, healthcare, and the wars overseas. On the Consider This podcast from NPR, we will unpack the debates on these issues and what's at stake. You can listen to NPR's Consider This wherever you get your podcasts.